Bible Study Chapter 12 Gifts and Community in the Holy Spirit. The gifts given in one Spirit and the community of one body. In the early church days, did they not participate in the Holy Communion ceremony with faith believing in the baptism the Lord received from John and the blood on the cross? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It is a clear fact that when the saints of the early church participated in the Holy Communion, they participated with faith believing in the salvation ministry of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Communion was not a simple religious ceremony, but an act of faith remembering and proclaiming the redemptive event of Jesus. Jesus' salvation ministry started from the beginning of his public ministry, that is, the event of receiving baptism from John, and was completed by the blood shed on the cross and the resurrection. Through baptism, the public ministry was opened, and through the death on the cross, the redemptive event in which the sin problem of humanity was completely resolved was accomplished. The Holy Communion is the very place to remember and confess this entire salvation ministry of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 explains the life of faith of the early church like this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Here, breaking of bread shows the image of the Holy Communion remembering and sharing the salvation ministry of Christ whenever they gathered. Paul also explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Paul declares, No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The first and most primary evidence showing the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, nor mystical experiences, nor performing miraculous powers. It is the very confession of faith in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This confession, that Jesus had the sins of the world transferred to his body through the baptism he received from John, completely paid the penalty for those sins on the cross, and that salvation was confirmed through the resurrection, must be the faith of the worshiper at the Holy Communion. Therefore, the work of the Holy Spirit always begins together with the confession of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Do not the gifts appearing in the born-again person appear diversely for each person? There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. The gifts appearing within the gospel of the water and the Spirit appear diversely for each person. God does not give all the gifts to one person, but gives different gifts to various people, working so that the church community is built up together. Paul emphasizes that although the gifts are diverse, there must always be love at their center. This is the reason why he says in 1 Corinthians 13 that no matter how many gifts one has, if there is no love, it is nothing. Paul repeatedly emphasizes this truth. There are various gifts, but the same Spirit. There are various offices, but the same Lord. And there are various ministries, but it is the same God who accomplishes all things. This shows that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not given to rank believers according to their level of spiritual achievement. The gifts are sovereignly arranged by God to to make the one gospel known through various diverse expressions. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is one, and the Holy Spirit testifies to that one gospel through the diversity of the members of the body. Are the gifts of the Holy Spirit intended to give profit to the church? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The purpose for which the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each person is not to elevate or make the individual boast, but to build up the church community and give profit to the saints. The Apostle Paul clearly declares this fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Gifts must necessarily be used with a heart of love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that no matter how great a gift is, if there is no love, there is no profit. Only when gifts are used in the direction of building up the community do they accomplish the purpose given by God. Paul summarizes the purpose of all spiritual gifts in one sentence. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The profit spoken of here is not an individual's spiritual satisfaction or sense of religious superiority, but the building up of the church. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the means to more clearly visualize the community that has already become one through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Can it be said that the Church of God is accomplished within the gifts given by God? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. The Church of God is built up and accomplished within the gifts given by God. God gave diverse gifts to the saints to build up the church, and when those gifts work together, the church is built up healthily. However, the center of the church is always Jesus Christ. The church does not exist by human ability or the gifts themselves, but is a community with Christ as the head. Paul lists gifts such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. However, the emphasis is not on the list itself, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Gifts are not something an individual chooses, nor are they a rank won through training and effort. They are a sovereign bestowal that the Holy Spirit distributes individually according to His own will. For this reason, no spiritual gift whatsoever can ever become a legitimate ground for boasting. Is it not through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the fact that all saints have become members of one body is shown? For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. The fact that all saints have become members of one body is actually revealed through the gifts given by the Holy Spirit. God called the saints with respectively different gifts and made them cooperate with each other, thereby making the appearance of the church, which has become one body, manifest. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not a simple expression of power, but a sign showing the fact that the saints are one body connected to one another. When people with different gifts cooperate together, the church becomes a living and moving community as the body of Christ. Paul makes an extremely important declaration. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Here, the order is crucial. The body is already one. The gifts appear subsequently upon that foundation. The foundation of this united oneness is none other than the gospel of the water and the Spirit. By Jesus receiving baptism, sin was transferred, and on the cross, the judgment of that sin was completed, and through the Holy Spirit, salvation was confirmed. Gifts do not make the church one. The gospel of the water and the Spirit has already made the church one, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit merely reveal and express that oneness. Does the Church of God need the gifts possessed by many saints? For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 20. The Church of God needs the diverse gifts possessed by many saints. This is because God did not cause the church to be built up by the ability of one person, but gave different gifts to various saints so that they may cooperate together to build up the church. This diversity is not a weakness of the church, but a wise order and structure given by God to build up the church. Paul gives the metaphor of the body. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," would it not be a member of the body? If the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," would it be useless? This passage resolves the sense of inferiority that arises from comparing gifts. Within the gospel of the water and the Spirit, there is no less important salvation, nor does a more important believer exist. The salvation received is the same for everyone, only the roles are different. In the Church of God, can we not see that there are many weak people who hold honorable offices? And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 26. In the Church of God, there are many cases where people who are weak from a worldly perspective rather hold honorable offices. This is because the way God chooses and uses people is different from the standards of the world. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God does not look at a person's external conditions, but looks at the heart and faith, and uses people. Paul now points out the opposite error. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Conspicuous or prominent gifts cannot monopolize the center of the church. Rather, God added preciousness to the members that seem lacking, and clothed the weakest-looking parts with special honor. This is the very principle of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Power is made perfect in weakness, and God's wisdom is revealed through lowliness. Since the church is the body of Christ, and the saints are members of that body, is it not a community that needs those who have many gifts? Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. Because the church is the body of Christ, and the saints are members of that body, it is a community where people with diverse gifts are needed together. It is not a community made up of only one member, but the body of Christ where various members cooperate together with different gifts. That is the essence of the church. Paul proclaims, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." After establishing the order of gifts, he concludes the chapter with the following words: "And yet I show you a more excellent way. That best way is exactly love, and this is the theme of the next chapter." Love does not replace gifts. Love is the standard that keeps gifts remaining within the gospel, holding them so that the gifts themselves do not become the purpose. 1 Corinthians 12 asks us today, "Are you trying to prove yourself through your gifts? Or are you serving by fulfilling your entrusted role as a member of the body, already made one by the gospel of the water and the Spirit?"